Hi, my name's Dave Cooper, and I want to welcome you to another Alternative to Rehab podcast. In this short series on method, I want to talk to you today about one I call the code. Now, I don't know if you're listening to this as part of your lockdown experience or whether that's all finished now by the time you hear this, but I thought there was probably never going to be a better time to talk about a method that helps us with communication in our relationships when we're all locked down together and the pressure's on. So let's make a start and look at this method called the code. If addiction and dependence are going to be defined, as I do, define them as inappropriate relationships, especially with dead or inert things, then it makes sense to assess our recovery by the quality of our living relationships. So if addiction, as I argue, is about relationships with dead things, your recovery is all about relationships with living things. So improving our communication skills then becomes one of the most important factors in our practice. So techniques which improve our communication will also improve our relationships. And improved relationships mean improved recovery. So I want to introduce another method now that is all about improving our communication. I call this method the code, and I use it whenever a client shares about the difficulties in a relationship, often difficulties with partners or loved ones, family or friends. But to be fair, it works just as well in work or team situations. And as with all of these techniques, the aim is to raise awareness of what you're doing and to reveal those parts that have remained unseen. Now, a code is a set of symbols or words that represent a message that can only be understood once deciphered or cracked or shared. In order to describe the way we use this idea, I first need to talk about making another in a long line of useful distinctions, namely direct and indirect communication. So from now on, I want you to think of your communication in these two ways, direct and indirect. So let's define them. Direct communication happens when you look someone in the eye and tell them exactly how you feel about something, your truth. Indirect communication is literally everything else. Wait, everything else? Well, in systemic work, we think of everything as communication, because we make meaning from everything that happens. Essentially, we cannot stop communicating or making meaning. We've been called by communication theorists meaning-making machines. It's often misleading when we hear people say things like, oh, we just don't communicate, or why don't they communicate, when clearly something has been communicated, right? Everything we do or say, or think for that matter, has meaning and is therefore communicating something to someone somewhere. So how do we understand indirect communication? Well, I would describe it as saying something without facing the consequences of having said it. Saying something without facing the consequences of having said it. Whenever we say something directly, you see, we take a risk. We risk things like our status in the relationship, or the body, or the relationship itself. Now, when we say something indirectly, we attempt to remove that risk because we never actually said it. Often our hope is that they will somehow get it without us having to say it. Now, this is tantamount to wanting something for nothing. But there's one huge problem with this approach. They never get it. Because you communicated indirectly, they're much more free to make their own meaning from what you did, therefore getting the wrong end of the stick again and again and again, thus perpetuating the frustration and the triggering experience that you often live with. By using this exercise, you will learn to be aware, then to translate, and then to directly communicate what needs to be said. So let's try this now. Think of a relationship you struggle in. Oh, that was fast. Wasn't that easy? Now think about when you did something as part of a conversation, such as sitting down a bit too quickly, closing a cupboard door a little bit too loudly. It could be a facial expression you made, or you may have made a small gesture. It could be the rolling of your eyes or the folding of your arms. These are all indirect communications, and the way we use them is to ask ourselves this question. If that folding of the arms could speak, what would it be saying to them? If that folding of the arms could speak, could talk, what would it be saying to them right now? Now, we have a process that we can use once we have this raw data. So the first step is to admit to ourselves what we really wanted to say. Once you've got this answer, then you can use it in the exercise, but it can be awkward. And of course, it often includes, bad language and unfriendly language. But it is important that we get the real message. We want the raw data. Now, the second step is to remove the aggression and to replace it with assertiveness. Essentially, this means removing anything in the message that demands something of someone. We need to replace it with how it makes you feel when they do or say these things. So, just to be clear, any part of your message that asks others to change or to be different or to do different things needs to be removed. The third step is to find out what it is that you're actually risking by saying this. This is an important step. Ask yourself, what is the worst thing that could happen as a result of them hearing this? Now, worst case, it is not always likely, but you should be aware of why you have been choosing to communicate indirectly about this rather than directly. By getting in touch with your own fears, you will be getting to know your parts better. What is it that they're protecting you from and why? Since we can say with some certainty that any fear of communicating your truth is likely to be out of proportion and therefore the work of your parts. The fourth step is to decide if you now want to turn this into direct communication or keep it as something for your own learning. What you've just discovered is valuable information, whether you share it or not. It may be that you'll find a better time to share this, or maybe wait till after you've processed it a little more. I just don't want you to get the idea that you must share this because you have it. Now, our general movement in recovery is a movement in relationships towards direct communication and authenticity in those relationships. But it's important to be self-determined. And so remember to go at your own pace. Trying to go too fast and too far too quickly is not always a good idea. So we often resort to indirect communication because we're afraid of the consequences. But ironically, we often find that by becoming more authentic and more direct in our communication, the relationship is actually improved. In relationship counselling, we have a saying that relationships have to be going somewhere. You see, they have to be growing. And in order to grow, they need intimacy. And in order to produce intimacy, we must have vulnerability. Now, authenticity can make you feel very vulnerable at times. And so it becomes part of your growth, part of your challenge, and part of the cost that you've been willing to pay to develop an authentic recovery. I often find myself saying to clients that they need to go home and let people know who they actually are. So once again, we have a very simple technique that becomes very powerful when used consistently and with commitment. I want to say thanks for taking the time to listen to this today. Until next time, bye for now.